Well, good morning. It's a great day to be together and to praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah. Hey, I want you guys to tell me a story. You guys can make the sermon today as long or as short as you please. Isn't that a great day to be in church? Hey, I want you guys to tell me the story of Noah and the flood. We talked a little bit about it in children's church today. So I want to hear it. Want to hear the view. What are some of the points of the flood that we got? What's out there?
Kind of like this year.
Lots of rain. That's one of the things about the flood. Awesome start. 40 days, 40 nights. Yes, 40 days and 40 nights. The rain was coming, flooding up. What else? What else do we know about the flood? Noah and his family were the only humans saved. Was there something else on there? Two of every kind of animal, marching two by two. So, yes. 7 years to build the ark. Took a long time to build the ark, absolutely. Took a long, long time to build the ark. Noah was pretty old by the time he finished. Yeah. You've been watching some Ken Ham, haven't you? Yeah, so very possible that after the catastrophic events that caused a climate change, unlike the one that we are in now, and created in a new ice age, or created an ice age that was lasted, and the world has since been recovering from that ice age. Yes, answers in Genesis. Yes, great resources. What else do we know? Yeah, Karen. Yeah. Noah trusts in God even though he doesn't understand. Wow, that's just about a sermon right there. Just about. What else do we got? Yeah, Jake.
Noah was 600 years old.
Do you have your Bible open? Awesome. That's using your resources. Noah was 600 years old. Great. I was glad that somebody was going to bring that point up because I couldn't remember what the year exactly was. So 600 years old when he finished. God's the one who closed the door on the ark. Yeah. That's an interesting fact. It's an interesting snippet in there. God's the one who closed the door. Yeah, so. It did not rain before. Yeah, we get this idea that maybe this was one of the first times when it had rained. And it was kind of this strange going back to Noah following when he didn't understand what was going on. Yeah, battle on both fronts. Came from the sky and up from the depths. Yeah. Did I see a hand over here as well? Yeah. 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 That's where we start out, isn't it? We see the beginning of this story of the flood starts out in God's grief. He looks over his creation and he's saddened. You guys have done a great job in beginning this story and getting this story going. And we look at this story of Noah and the flood, and we see a lot going on here. We see discussions about climate change coming out of this. We see discussions about God's justice coming out of this, about maybe God's vengeance, about how can you believe in a God who just destroys the whole world, about how do we rectify this, that it just doesn't make sense that there would ever be a flood that would be able to cover the whole earth, that all of these things that we have to look at and we have to see and we have to piece together, and we have to trust. And we begin looking at this story and we see We see, as we've seen in the other pages of the book of Genesis, in the beginning of the book of Genesis, that the world is undercover. It's in a very literal sense in this story that the world is undercover. But before it's under the cover of a flood, it's still under the cover, and it's covered by chaos. It's covered by chaos. We look into Genesis chapter 6, and we begin to see this flood account. It tells us in Genesis chapter 6, starting at verse 5, it says, "Then the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. And the Lord regretted." The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth. And his heart was deeply troubled. What we continually see in the story of God redeeming the world is that God never gives up on his mission. No matter how many times he looks down and it breaks his heart. No matter how many times he sees sin in the world, no matter how many times he looks down and he sees that his creation has turned, God still never gives up on his mission. We saw it last week that God remains faithful even when his people are unfaithful. And in this moment, God looks on the earth that he has created, the earth that he spoke into existence, but also the earth that he saw and proclaimed that his work was good. He looks down onto his masterpiece, his work of art, his majesty, the work that proclaims back to him his glory. And look what he says about the people. The people who, remember from our first week, that we're supposed to be partners, that we're supposed to be co-rulers, that we're supposed to be bringing out the created glory. And what's their role in this story? It says that every inclination of the human heart was only evil all the time. I don't know if any of you did pre-marriage counseling. One of the things that we were told in pre-marriage counseling is to never use absolutes. Never use never, every, only, all the time. And we look at this sentence. Every inclination of the human heart was only evil all the time. We wonder how God could be sad. It's the state of this world. It's what sin had done to God's creation. It's what that choice to rebel from God's plan and God's protection had brought on the whole earth. And it reminds me just a picture of this. Is in high school, I loved art. I took about every art class that I could, and I was terrible at painting. And I had worked so hard, and I'd love it for the drawing days. I would absolutely just be waiting for the days that we got to work with clay. But our teacher made us work in all different forms of art. And when it came to the painting, in my junior year, I was painting, and for the first time, I thought, this is good. I thought, this is going well. There was this country scene. It had hills just rolling. It had corn. It had crops. It had deer. It had all this stuff, this beautiful sunset in the background. And I thought it was done. I thought it was complete. I thought it was perfect. And the teacher comes walking by. And our teacher, she loved to when we were working, she loved to make suggestions to us and challenge us and have us improve what we were doing. And how she would usually do that is she would take a transparency and she would use markers and she'd draw on the transparency what we should try to incorporate in our drawings and in our art. And she didn't know that my painting was still wet when I called her over. And she came over and she laid down this transparency on my painting with fresh paint on it and just smeared everywhere. And it was absolutely ruined. To a greater extent, that's what we did to God's creation. God had come, he had made this world, he had spoken into existence, this world that we could live on, this world that would bring him glory by creation. And he gives us this choice. He says, you can love me, you can follow me, you can take my instruction, or you can go your own way. He gives him the warning. He says, this, if you go your own way, it's going to lead to death. And humans take this creation, they take this world, they take God's direction, they take God's protection and his instruction, and they throw it aside. And what ends up happening is just chaos. And once again, it's spiraled into this chaos that God looks at. God is saddened because he loved his creation. He saw that it was good, not just good, but when he had put his people on there, the image bearers of himself onto this planet, he had said that it was very good. But he sees what's going on and his heart is saddened. And so we get to verse 7 and it says, so the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race that I've created. And with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I've made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. One of the greatest conjunctions that we see in Scripture is the word but. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. God says, I'm going to grab a new canvas. I'm going to take this man and this family. I'm going to put with them a remnant of the animals that I've created, of these good animals that I've created, taking a portion of my good work, and I'm going to press the restart button on this world. It's a little like the commercial out right now. Fact number 76, you think you can solve every technical problem by turning your computer on and off again. And God does this, and he takes this world, and he wipes the slate clean, and he says, I'm not done. I'm going to create it anew. It says, so God said to Noah, starting in verse 13, picking back up there, he says, so God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. Notice, it wasn't God throwing a temper tantrum. It's because God sees that there's a problem and there's one way to fix it. He says, for this earth is filled with violence because of them. He says, I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. God gives him this instruction list of how to make this boat. It says it's going to be huge. It's going to be ginormous. You're going to be building decks, and you're going to be putting pitch on the walls, and you're going to be creating this boat. And we see it today. We see it that is just massive. You can go over to the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter and just be marveled by the size of this thing. They tried to build it to the specifications that are found in Scripture. It's just huge. God says, do this. Do this. And notice Noah's response. Notice Noah's response. God gives him this ginormous task, this incredible task, this task that he shouldn't be able to accomplish all on his own, this task that should be way bigger than him, this task that he doesn't have the tools for, he doesn't have the know-how for, he doesn't have the equipment to do this. But it says, Noah's response was, in verse 22, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. This is going to be a theme of this story. It says it in verse 22. It says it in chapter 7, verse 5, verse 9, and verse 16. It keeps on repeating that Noah is doing everything just as God commanded. Noah follows. Noah says, you know what? I don't understand this, Lord. I don't get this. I don't know what a boat is. But I'm going to follow you. Don't you want to have faith like that? Don't you want to have faith like that? It repeats it over and over. At this point, Noah said to God, I will follow you wherever you say it goes. It doesn't matter if it doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't matter if it's unpopular. I'm going to follow. Because of this, Noah and his family are spared from the flood that is coming. And boy, did it come. In chapter 7, verses 17 through 19, it says, for 40 days the flood kept coming over the earth, and the waters increased. They lifted the ark high above the earth. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. The water rose until all the earth, until all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. What's the point of this whole journey we've been walking through? We're seeing that we're always under cover. Everything was covered. Now notice, let's look at this from the story of God's big picture for just a second. God had just created. He had created. Creation had gone terribly wrong to the point where it was irreparable. So God does once again what he did in the beginning. Genesis 1 paints a picture of God's canvas. Genesis 1 verse 2 says, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The condition that Noah finds himself in is the condition that God began with. It gives us this picture of this ball, this sphere just covered in water. But God's Spirit is there, hovering over. And then we get to Noah and the flood, and we see that all the earth is covered. All there is water. God's got his people floating just above the surface. The easel is set for a new work of art to be created. And that's exactly what God does. Once again, there's this world of chaos. Water covered the surface of the earth, but God does his greatest work in the presence of chaos. 1 Peter talks a little bit more about this chaos that was at work and is still in work in his time. Chaos that's still at work today. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 through 22, it says, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built, in it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels authorities and powers in submission to him. God is still working creation from chaos. Out of chaos, God brings a new creation. God covered the world in water to bring it back, to heal it from the violence and destruction that sin had caused. And that is what he has done in our lives. We all hit this point in life when we come face to face with the fact that we are messed up. We are in need of a Savior, folks. We've hit this point where we look at our lives and we look at what we've become and we know it's the furthest thing from what God has planned for us. Our life begins more to look like chaos than it does in creation. But there's this beautiful verse that starts chapter 8 off. Remember, the greatest conjunction in the Bible is the word but. And chapter 8 starts off, "But God remembered." In the middle of chaos, in the middle of destruction, in the middle of violence, God remembered. It says God remembered Noah and his family. It says in chapter 8, verse 13 through 14, it says, "By the first day of the first month of Noah's 601st year, the water had dried up from the earth. Noah then removed the covering from the ark and saw that the surface of the ground was dry. By the 27th day of the second month, the earth was completely dry." It tells us in verse 20, it says, "Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, taking some of the clean animals and the clean birds, and he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, 'Never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood, and never again will I destroy all living creatures as I've done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, will never cease.'" We're in God's hands. Let's be reminded of that. Starts chapter 9. It says, "Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. The fear and the dread that you will fall on all the beasts of the earth and on all the birds of the sky, on every creature that moves around the ground, and on all the fish of the sea, they are given into your hands. Everything that lives and moves about will be your food. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything.'" And then it says, "Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, 'I now establish my covenant with you. I now establish my covenant with you. And with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, and all those who come out of the ark with you, every little living creature on the earth, I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth.' Then God said, 'This is the sign of my covenant I'm making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I've set a rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all the living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth.'" So God said to Noah, "This is a sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on earth." I hope that word covenant stands out to you today. What God does here is he continues. He passes on the commission that he had given Adam and Eve, but he constructs a new deal with humanity, and God calls this a covenant. This was an ancient word. Ancient military term. The origin meaning a peace agreement between a superior force and a weaker faction that cannot defend itself. And that's what God sets up with humanity. God has shown his power, but he reaches down once again to offer peace to humanity. but this would not be the end. Thousands of years later, a man named Jesus would be celebrating a festival called Passover with his disciples. Jesus takes bread and he breaks it. And he takes his cup. With it, Jesus says, "This is my blood of the covenant. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." We have a new covenant. Covenant of life given by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. May we remember today as we celebrate the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we have a covenant that gives life through the chaos. And God is good. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for your covenant. God, not only the covenant that you made with Noah that reminds us each and every time that the clouds come over the skies that you are still good, that you are still faithful. But God, thank you for the covenant that Jesus Christ set up. The covenant that Jesus gave his life for so that we can have life with you eternal. God, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness. God, we are covered. So much of the time we recognize that in our lives we're covered by chaos, but we recognize above all of that we are covered by the blood of the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and that we can have life with you. Help us to take full advantage of that today. Help us to recognize your love. Help us to recognize your forgiveness. Help us to recognize that you have made us a new creation. God, we love you. God, we praise you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.